Okay, did everybody get a set of notes? If you didn't, you can raise your hand and maybe somebody from the connections team can fix you up. We've got several people that didn't get notes. You'll have to keep your hand up and wave till connections finds you. While they're hooking you up, let's just talk about what we saw last time. We saw wisdom personified, and she had a message for the simple, the scorner, and the fool. The bottom line is that the simple needed to stop being simple, and the scorners needed to stop scorning, and the fools needed to quit hating knowledge, and they needed to actually come to the place where they recognized that she had what they needed. And we looked at that picture of just how desperately we need the Word of God, that it's in the Word of God that we get the wisdom of God. And so tonight in chapter 2, Dad, right? The king is talking to his son, and he's saying, you need to listen to her. You need wisdom. And he gives it as conditional promises. If we'll receive wisdom, then there will be blessing. And so tonight we'll see him lay out wisdom's promised hypothesis. You guys know what a hypothesis is. That's kind of a tongue twister. Do you know what a hypothesis is? Well, it's a if-then statement. It's a conditional outcome based upon some known facts, right? If this is true, then that is what will be the result because, right, a good hypothesis consists of some conditional outcome that's based on known background research. There's some facts that we know, and so based on these facts that we know, if we do this, we will get that. It's an if-then conditional outcome. And so I'm going to just assume you guys have already done the background research. We're going to look at the lab of your life, and we're going to be able to come to some conclusions, I think, based on just your experience in the lab of life. This is my foam mat from my standing desk. It's made out of foam, so it's cushy. I can squeeze it. It's got some give to it. So my foam mat versus the concrete floor over here, which is harder, which is denser? The concrete, that's right. So what I'm going to say, here's my hypothesis. Can we go ahead and bring that up, the hypothesis? Make sure I word this right. It's taking a second. Okay, so if I drop this tennis ball from the same height from the stage here, then it's going to rebound the highest when dropped on the concrete because of the facts that we know. What do we know? We know that concrete is denser. It's harder. The surface is harder than foam. Amen? We all agree as to the hypothesis. We know what the outcome's going to be. And so we ought to be able to test it, right? So I'm going to, Brian, you make sure I hold it from the same height each time, okay? And I'll see if I can catch this ball. Okay, so I'm going to drop it. Okay, so it dropped right about in here, right? Am I right there? Right there? Okay. So let's test it on the foam. So about right there. A little higher? A little lower? A little higher? Right there? Right there? Okay, I'll see if I can catch it. What do you think? 2 inches? We got a 2-inch return. Okay, so who thought that the ball would bounce higher off the foam? Don't raise your hand. You'll out yourself as... We knew that wasn't going to happen, right? Like it was a slam dunk. We knew what the outcome was going to be because we've seen the difference between concrete and foam, and we've all worked with tennis balls. Like we know, like we didn't actually have to do the test, did we? Like this was just an exercise in just taking extra time in the sermon because we knew what was going to happen. Like the fact that I did that was just like, duh, right? Well, that's kind of where we're at with wisdom's promises, okay? We're going to see an if-then statement, and it's a slam dunk because there are some things that are true about God, y'all. Everybody with me so far? So let's check it out. These are self-evident truths that we can know based on the outcome of the conditions. If we will apply ourselves to wisdom, right? If we'll apply ourselves to the Word of God, we will receive wisdom for ourselves. It's self-evident. But, you know, there are people in the world that say the claims that we're going to see tonight They're not self-evident. They don't think there's wisdom in the word. And then on the other side of the coin, you've got believers who will say, absolutely, I totally agree. Wisdom's promises are sure, right? The word of God, I get what the king is saying to his son. I go to wisdom and she's going to instruct me and I'll have wisdom for myself. But then they never move to claim those promises. So let's look at the hypothesis. First, the if statement. Now again, the if statement tells what must be done. It gives the parameters for the process. And so biblically, these are the points that we must submit to. And what we're going to see in the first verses is that if we want the benefit, if we want the proper outcome, then we got to get into God's word earnestly. Like a person who understands their true need. If I don't get what this book's got, then I am in big trouble. I am at a loss. I am at a deficit. And so I'm desperate to get the word of God. And so let's pick it up in verse 1. These are the ways that we're to respond to the word of wisdom. My son, if thou wilt what? We got to receive the word. We got to receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, notice the urgency, that's your next blank. There is desperation here, there's determination to get God's word because if we hear what the king is saying to his son about the wisdom of God's word, then you want it. Like you would want silver, like you would want treasure. Is silver and treasure gonna benefit you? If you could go dig up a bunch of silver and treasure, you'd do that, right? Because you're not stupid. Because that would greatly benefit your life. Okay, if you get that, right? I need to receive the word. I need to hide it. I need to make it part of my life. I need to listen. I need to apply it to my life. I need to apply my heart to understanding what wisdom is saying. And I need to be a beggar. I'm going to cry out for wisdom for myself. I'm going to be a looker. I'm going to be looking for wisdom like I'm looking for treasure. So the first command is receive and hide, verse 1. In other words, the goods of God's word have to be gotten and they've got to be kept. It's like Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. As Samuel grew, he got it. The Bible says the Lord was with him. And then it gives the secret. Samuel did let none of his words fall to the ground. And now everybody is blessed because Samuel's got the word, the wisdom of God. All of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. It's like David. He says, I need God, what you've got. So in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. David says, I need that so I can live wisely, that I might not sin against thee. So it's to receive, and then you're not just receiving it conceptually, but you're making it your own. I'm going to receive it and hide it in my heart and life. And then the second command, verse 2, is to incline and apply. So what we learn must be lived. There's got to be some integrity. I'm not just gaining facts about the Word of God. I'm seeing how to surrender my life to the Word of God. I'm not just believing like devils believe, but tremble. No, no, no. What God is saying, I'm submitting my life to. I'm making it my own. David said in Psalm 119, again, verse 112, I've inclined my heart to perform. I don't want to just know, I want to live. To perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. For me to live is Christ. The word of Christ is the law over my heart. Isaiah 55, verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. We don't want to just know facts about God's word so that we've got the insight and the information. We need that insight and information so that we know how to live. I don't want to just be a hearer of the word. I want to be a doer of the word. A lot of people know a lot about the Bible and live very little of it. And then you got to be hungry. You want to come to the place where you're a beggar for wisdom. Look at verse 3. The command here is to cry and lift up. It's going to be our mission tonight as we close in the prayer ministry here in just a few minutes. We want to ask. We want to cry out. We want to cry after the word of God. We don't want to just come to the word and just interact with it on a surface level. We want the Holy Spirit to teach us. We want the word to give us wisdom from on high. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6 says we're to ask of God for wisdom. And we're to ask knowing he wants to give it to us. In Psalms 25 and verse 4, David asks, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. I'm not going anywhere. I got to have what you've got. 119, verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding. You made me, you have to program me that I may learn thy commandments. 125, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. 169, let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. And then the last command is we got to seek and search. We got to see the value of God's word over our life. It's better than silver and treasures. Silver and treasure, you'd get it if you could, because it would improve the quality of your life. So we got to get wisdom. We got to seek it with all of our might. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, right? If from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. God's not interested if you're one bund in your pursuit of him. He doesn't want you posing. He doesn't want you playing. He wants your heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. See, what we have is our God's a jealous God, and he's not going to share us with other lovers. And if you're like, well, God, I love you, and I want this relationship with you, but I really love these other gods. I love these other idols. I've got a side thing. I've got a side hustle going on, and I don't want to give you my whole devotion. I just want you to bless my life so that I can go live it with other lovers. God's like, homie, don't play that. Does anybody say that anymore? God's like, homie, don't play that. Talk to the hand. If I can't have all of you, then you just plan on living a frustrating life. So here's our response. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, because we have learned God's word for ourselves. We can rightly divide the word of truth. Okay, so that's the if statement. If we're all in going after what God has for us, then here's the promise. The then statement gives the expected outcome if, right, when the if requirements are followed. Verse 5, then. So verses 1 through 4, all the ifs. Here's the then in our hypothesis. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So that's the promise. David knew it. He cashed in on it. Psalm 119 again, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though thou through thy commandments hast made me. Here it is. Watch it. I got God delivered. I kept all the if conditions. And look what God delivered. Thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. I did what wisdom required, and you blessed me. I'm wiser than my enemies. I know more than my teachers, and I understand more than the ancients. You hooked me up, God. So the then promises were kept because David was all in on the conditional requirements. Does that make sense? If then David did, so he received. Okay, so how do we know that this hypothesis is correct? How do we know that if we'll seek the Lord with all of our heart, if we'll seek in God's word for wisdom, if we'll cry out for it, if we'll be willing to apply, we're not just going to learn facts, but we're going to submit to what we learn. How do we know that God's going to hook us up with wisdom? Well, because we know why. Okay, and so that verses 6 through 9 give us the because parameters. The because is the known parameters that makes the hypothesis a slam dunk. Okay, like concrete. We know concrete is denser than foam. We know the ball is going to bounce higher when it hits the harder surface. Well, so also, if we seek after wisdom, we know we're going to get it because of who God is. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. That's how we know we'll get it, because God's in the giving business. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So just go to the fountain, right? Go to the fire hydrant and let it just hit you full blast. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's the promise. And again, how are we going to do it? You got to search after it like it's treasure, like it's silver. You want to get after it like it is the most precious substance possible to acquire in your life. So we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to be workmen. We need to be miners in the ground of God's word. Amen? Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, because we know how the Bible is put together. We're able to rightly divide the word of truth. He layeth up sound wisdom. Watch this now. He doesn't just give it to anybody. He gives it to the righteous. He is a buckler to them who, right, that walk uprightly. He gives the wisdom to the righteous and the upright. That's who he gives it to. He doesn't give it to just anybody. Again, if you're a poser, not a player, right? If you're a poser, not an actual disciple, I want to know facts about the word of God, but I don't want to submit to any of it. I want to live my own life. No, God says that's not going to work. The righteous, the upright says, Lord, you've spoken, I surrender. Lord, you've spoken. I don't just believe verbally, but I'm actually submitting. I'm actually surrendering my life to your call over it. So we ask in faith, nothing wavering. We ask in faith, knowing that God wants to give it. But beware, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26 says that God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up. So what lies before you are two choices, two paths. One says, Lord, I need your wisdom. I'm going to cry after it. I'm going to seek after it. I'm going to study to show myself approved. I'm going to get into your word, and your word is going to get into me, and it's going to rule over my life. I don't want to just know facts about your word. I want to know you. I don't want to know I don't want to just know the details. I want to know how to live my life. I need to know you. I need your wisdom to be my wisdom. Give me wisdom. Or, right? So that's, God gives to a man. It's good in his sight to give wisdom. But if we're going to come to the word dishonestly, and we're going to hold submission to it, right? We're going to hold it at arm's length. Then God says, I'm going to train you. And it's not going to be comfortable. And travail will gather and heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. At some point, we have to come to the place where we cry uncle and we say, God, I'm done doing it my way. I need your wisdom to rule and reign over my life. I'm done with the way that's right in my own eyes. Lord, I need your word. I need your wisdom. Now I'm crying after it. I'm seeking after it. I'm searching for it like treasure. So compare verses 8 and 9. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, and every good path. So to the righteous and the upright, to those who see God's word, and we don't just see it intellectually, but we submit our lives to it. We're walking in righteousness. We're walking in God's truth. We're upright before the Lord. We're not dissimulating. We're not double-minded. Lord, let your rule, let your word, let your wisdom be my life. God says, I'm going to show you righteousness, judgment, equity, and every good path. You're going to know how to discern the good from the evil, the right from the wrong. You're going to know wisdom, how to live your life in my wisdom. And so this is going to be our prayer tonight. For most of us, as we close, we got about 4 minutes. I want you to focus on the front page. Those verses under section 1, under crying out for wisdom, I'm sorry, section 1.3, cry and lift up, James chapter 1, Psalms 25, Psalms 119. I want us to get in groups and cry out for wisdom, okay? So again, we're going to pray like we did last time. Our eyes are open on the text. Who is God in the text? Thank him for that. What is the request that we need to see in the text that we can ask for ourselves? Let's lift up our requests to the Lord. But then if you're listening to this and you're saying, you know, I think I need to respond in repentance. I've been playing at being a Bible believer, and I've been going a way that's right in my own eyes, then I want to invite you to check out the verses on the back page, and you pray out of those. It may be just as simple as, Lord, I've not been a good student of your word. Forgive me. Lord, help me to get accountable. I'm going to sign up for discipleship. I don't know. I mean, you let the Lord lead you. And so you may be praying out of sections 2 and 3, but let's just take the next 3 or 4 minutes. Let's get in groups. Let's get our eyes on these verses, and let's lift them up to the Lord. Amen? Let's make sure everybody has somebody to pray with as we close.